What an honor it is to be one of your pastors. It humbles me every week that God has allowed me one more Sunday to be able to share with you. And man, I love you, Hope at Home. It's an honor to be here. Today we're going to start a study in the book of Jonah, and I just want to tell you right up front that I agree with this little girl, and it kind of sums up where we're headed today. A little girl was reading on an airplane the book of Jonah, and the guy next to her said hello and asked her what she's reading. She says, "I'm reading the book of Jonah." And the man asked her, he says, "Do you really believe that Jonah could have been swallowed by a fish? And do you really believe if Jonah was actually swallowed by a fish that he could stay in that fish for 3 days and then the fish would spit him out on the beach?" And she said, "I believe it's true." He says, "You're meaning to tell me this? You actually believe this?" And she said, "Yeah, it's a story in the Bible and we studied it in church." And the man asked, "How can you prove that this is true?" And the little girl kind of sat there and thought for a moment, and she said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." And then the man in his superiority said, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven?" And the little girl looked at him and said, "Well, then you ask him." You can make your own choice today, but I'm sticking with the little girl. You know, Jonah is the only minor prophet ever mentioned by Jesus Christ. And just so you understand, a minor prophet and the major prophets, here's the difference: the length of the book. So when they say, "Oh, it's one of the minor prophets," it just means it's a shorter book. Jonah is the Old Testament figure, the only one that Jesus himself identifies himself with. Some call the book a fable, or maybe it's not actually a historical event. In 2 Kings, it talks about Jonah as a historical figure. Josephus, which is an early Jewish historian, also regards him as a historical figure. And what I want you to understand is that we think in a way that is not like God thinks, and we are limited and God is not. And so this biblical account is no big deal for God. It might be a big deal for you and me to think about, but it's absolutely no big deal for God. And if you consider this compared to the other miracles in the Bible, it's no big deal. And let me just make sure I make this real clear. If you dismiss the book of Jonah as fable, then I'm going to ask you to do something else. Dismiss the entire Bible, because that's how it works. I'm excited about these next couple of weeks when we consider four principles that relate to Jonah, that relate to us. And the first one, I've titled it this: "You can run, but you can't hide." In Jonah chapter 1, it says this: "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai: Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Jonah, get up, arise, go to Nineveh. Not my problem. Jonah's not doing it. I read that instead of going the 500 miles from Palestine to Nineveh, Jonah goes to Joppa, the nearest seaport, jumps on a ship, and sails 2,000 miles due west. Jonah was a follower of God. Wait a minute, Jonah, is it possible that God wasn't clear? No. I think God was very clear. So Jonah, a man of God, is spoken to by God, and he completely goes the opposite direction. what is the problem? I can tell you what the problem is. Jonah hated the Ninevites, and for good reason. I've read that the Assyrian people were the most brutal people of the entire ancient world. They were so feared and dreaded by the people of that day because of their cruel and wicked methods of torture. They literally would tear the hands and lips off of their victims. They would bury them in the ground up to their necks for multiple days, then they would cut their heads off. They were the first people to use crucifixion. I think the Romans were the ones who perfected it. They would invade a town, and they would kill the men and the children, rape the women, and make them their slaves. History records that if people knew that the Assyrians were going to attack them, they would not surrender, and entire villages, entire areas would take their own lives rather than be subjected to the Assyrian torture. Just a few decades before the account that we read in Jonah, the Assyrians invaded some of the nation of Israel. I don't know, you don't know, but there is a chance that Jonah himself watched his mother, his father, maybe a sibling, be brutally tortured by the Assyrians. Maybe they were even slain before his eyes. Bottom line, Jonah absolutely hates these people. And you think, Jonah? Hey, Jonah, the message of God was not a nice message. He wanted you to go and say, there's going to be judgment. Jonah would have responded, no kidding. I already know that. But here's what I also know about God, because I'm a follower of God. If God wanted to destroy these people, he would have already done it. And because I know God, there's a chance that he's going to do something and they're going to turn to him. And I want no part of that. I mean, Jonah was a patriot. He loved his nation. What would he tell his friends? Hey, I'm going to Nineveh. The people who've killed our families? Yeah. Jonah knew perfectly clear, because he knew God, he wanted no part of what God was going to do. Two times in three verses, Jonah tries to flee from God. How many of us have ever tried to flee from God? We know what God wants us to do, and we decide we're not going to do that. The truth is for Jonah, the truth is for you, the truth is for me. We can run, but we can't hide. The Bible says in verse 3, but Jonah got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, got on board, hoping to escape the Lord. He wanted to run from the Lord. He wanted to escape from the Lord. Jonah, that's not how it works. What did the psalmist write? Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're still there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far east of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't get away from God. And to know God's plan and to choose something different is sin. It's just what it is. It is sin. And it's not easy to be a Christ follower. Sometimes it goes against what you think. Most of the time it goes against what everybody thinks. And if you're going to follow Christ, we talked about this last week, sometimes it's super hard. And that's why there's a lot of immature Christians. Had a great talk with my son this week. He says, "Dad, you know, what's the deal with the church?" He says, I've done the research, and really when it comes to marriage, there's no difference between people who call themselves Christians and those who are in the world. What is the deal? And I said, the deal is we want it our way. Like, we want the theology of God according to how Jim interprets that. You've done the same thing. God, I want to serve you. I want to give all of my life to you. But, I'm not going to do that. No, you've asked me to give, but I really want this instead of that. God, you've asked me to serve, but I've got a lot of reasons why I can't serve. If anybody had a reason to not do what God wanted him to do, I would say Jonah did. God, these are terrible people. They don't deserve you. Let's just kill them. Then we're fine. You know, we make it simple here at Hope Church. You want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ? It's going to cost you some time, your treasures, and your talents. If you're not willing to do that, what I love about Jonah, and you'll see this, he admits, I'm not doing it. Instead of trying to justify his life, he says, I'm a man of God, I'm a Hebrew, and I'm not doing it. What so many times we can do is we just rationalize. Yeah, I'm not as bad as them. I. The problem when we get the I, there's a whole lot of us, and it's not biblical Christianity. And biblical Christianity, it's not about legalism. It's not about all the rules. It's about relationship with Christ. But it takes everything we have to continue in a relationship with Christ. Jesus says this, even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Blessed are those who reverently hear what God is saying and then don't go the opposite direction. Blessed are those who listen to God and do what God wants them to do. And don't kid yourself. It's not easy to be a Christ follower. It's not easy to mature in your faith. And that's why there are so many immature Christians. Now, I love Hope Church, and I think there's a lot of mature Christians here. And I'm very thankful for that. But Jonah was also mature and thought, no, I'll do everything else, but not this. You see, at Hope Church, we tell you time, talents, and treasures. Well, how do you do that? You've got to seek God. We don't tell you when to do it, but you got to do it. I mean, some people are morning people. You tell them to seek God at night, and they can't do it. Some people are night people. You tell them to seek God in the morning, God doesn't even want to talk to them. You know, until after like 10, because, you know, I don't care when you seek God, but you have to seek him or you're not going to follow him and you're not where he wants you to be. We talked to you about serving. How do you grow? How do you grow in any profession? You do something about it. You know, people in church, you can't just sit and soak because at some point you're going to sour. You've got to serve. How are we like, Jim, are we desperate for people? No. It's not about me. It's about you growing and maturing in Christ so you don't end up like Jonah. And then you've got to share. You've got to share in the responsibility of what God wants. You know, we never even talk about offering. But there are some people who are mature enough in Christ that they tithe. When's the last time we said, hey, we're going to pass an offering? Or we didn't even talk about it. We just assume if you're going to follow Christ, then you're going to be part of that. It's called Christian maturity. And our finances are really good. That's why we get to do so many things around the world. It's not just about us. Obviously, we have to have lights on, and I know today you're thankful for air conditioning. But do you understand what I'm saying? Jonah wanted to follow God until God said, I want you to do something that you don't want to do. Question. We want you to be a fully devoted follower of Christ at Hope Church, but it's a choice, right? I can't serve God for you. It's a choice. How many times can you reject God's plan and not suffer consequences? How many times can you know what God wants you to do, choose not to do it, and how many times can you do that and there's no consequence? How many times can we ignore what God wants, pretend everything's okay? How long before there's a repercussion of that? In the book of Jonah, it took four verses. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all the time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. Here's a misconception. I can choose what I want to do. It's my life and it's not going to affect anybody. That's an absolute lie. Unless you live on an island by yourself with nobody else around you. You live in the context of communities, whether it's on the soccer field, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at the community center, and what you do affects others. Don't say it's my life, it's my thing. No, what you do affects others. And even though you might be thinking, oh, I'm just taking a nap like Jonah, other people's lives are spinning out of control because of actions, our actions. So Jonah's asleep. It's all good. He felt like he was hiding from God, sailing along, and the world around him was falling apart. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. You see, here's the problem in the world. They're seeking everything possible to find satisfaction in life. And if the church is asleep, they're saying, do you have a God? Do you have a God that actually matters? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Jonah, they need you. You are the reason for the storm because you chose not to live God's plan. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lot identified Jonah as the culprit. Uh-oh. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. I know who I am. I know whose I am. But I'm not doing it. Verse 10. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for they had already told them he was running away from the Lord. At least Jonah was honest with his sin. Why are you going to Tarshish? I don't like what God wants me to do. Did you pay your fare? I paid. Well, come on. No big deal. No consequence. Well, there is a consequence. Do you understand that years ago, again, I'm not being legalistic, it's about relationship. Every Wednesday night was church night. Nobody questioned that. Sports, nobody did. But then there were parents, Christian parents, who thought, you know, I really want my kid to do well in sports, and if they're going to do well in sports, maybe another night. And so they, Wednesday nights. So now, guess what? There are sports every Wednesday night. And we're dumbed down in our faith. And if a kid's really going to do well in sports, you got to make a choice. Go to church, do that. Well, now, there are sports every night. And Sundays are not sacred. You know, whatever. Just come when I can. Again, it's not about legalism. It's about relationship with God. The world is reeling, reeling for somebody who has something of substance. The problem is, God's called us to seek him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. And we don't want him because I want to kind of do it my way. I want to kind of do my thing. And then we're mad. Gosh, the world's so terrible. Man, so many bad things are happening. Well, they're happening because we are silent. We are a lot like the world. Again, I'm not putting you down. I'm putting me down. And as I read this, I'm like, wow. I can actually be a Hebrew, worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made it all, and decide I don't want to do it. And go the other direction. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for they had already told him he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. Since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop the storm? People who don't know Jesus are still looking for people who know Jesus to tell them the answer. The problem is you have to live what you're telling them. Somebody this week, it was funny, they used a quote that I used to use, but we can't use it so much anymore. It says you need to smoke what you're selling. Right? This was so funny. How did this come out of my mouth? I have no idea. Yesterday, we went through Chick-fil-A, and she says, how's your day? Oh, good. What have you been doing? I said, oh, we've all just been smoking pot. It's been a great day. We're so happy. And she looked at me. She goes, what? I'm not going to tell anybody. I said, oh, it's okay. Again, we've smoked enough pot. We don't care. And Sharon's going, Jim, what are you doing? I'm a church member. It's holy smoke. It's okay. No, but I was just having fun. Then we told her I was kidding. This is why I write notes. No, I'm not smoking pot, all right? Just so we're clear. Oh, Lord, I can run, but I can't hide. I'm in trouble. All right, I got to read my notes again. Have you ever just joked with somebody? You guys got to lighten up a little. And I don't have a Hope Church sticker on my car. Just saying. And I wasn't wearing a Hope Church shirt, or I wouldn't have done that. Like, well, Jim, you shouldn't do it anyway. Thank you. I know that now. It sounded terrible when it came out of my mouth. But when she said, have a good day, and I said, my pleasure, I think she thought I was stoned. Okay. How do we stop this? Jonah says in verse 12, throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is my fault. Can you own up to your faith today? I know, God, you've called me. And I've just made excuses over and over and over and over and over again. It's really important that you understand the consequences of how you live. People need to know Jesus. And they don't care what you say. They need to have you live in such a way that the way you live shows relationship to Jesus Christ. And then they're going to be curious and ask you about that. But it's never easy to follow the Lord. When you begin to follow the Lord, your own flesh gets in the way. The enemy gets in the way. And sometimes even other believers get in the way. I mean, this is the problem. The sailors, they rowed harder to get the ship to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them and they couldn't make it. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. Friends, we can run, but we can't hide. And God's dependent on me. God's dependent on you. For the next generation to know Jesus Christ. I absolutely love those little kids up here, by the way. I love little kids. And as long as I'm the pastor, I will dictate that we pay attention to little kids. Old people like me have had our time. Like, wait, the old people pay the bills. I don't care. The old people need to realize the kids need Jesus. And if we don't want to help them find Jesus, the world's going to help them find all kinds of other things. Now I'm preaching. Man, I love you guys. You put up with me every single week. It's only God that you come back. Thank you. Verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. They realized that their gods weren't real gods. Non-believers are crying out to the God of the Hebrew. Oh Lord, they plead, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Innocent people are affected every day because of other people's sin. It's a terrible thing. But truly, because people are so desperate in this day and age, they want to know if God is real. And the only way they're going to see God is real is if God is living through those who claim to be his followers. I mean, think about the trauma these sailors are going through. They didn't ask for any of this. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. So now there was something good because of Jonah's sin. Jonah's now thrown into the ocean, and these guys on the boat have accepted God. But that's not how God intended it. And here's the bottom line. Jesus will get his plan accomplished. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. But if we decide against it, there's all kinds of havoc in our lives. But he'll still get it done. Right in other countries, God is actually coming to people in India in dreams. And they become converted. I mean, God will do whatever God's going to do because his plan is going to happen. But he wants to use you. He wants to use me. But as long as we're so focused on ourselves, everything goes awry. And here's the beautiful thing about God. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah, you're such an idiot. You've run from God, but this is why I love to follow God. Jonah was done with God, but God wasn't done with Jonah. If today you've absolutely, disgustingly, not followed God, it's not too late. I mean, Jonah literally in the face of God said, no, thank you, not my problem, I'm going this way. Craziness happens. And God brings a fish. R.T. Kendall said it this way, God is not obligated to any man insofar as Jonah is concerned. God didn't have to send the wind, but he did. He didn't have to prepare a fish, but he did. He didn't have to eject Jonah from the fish's mouth, but he did. And he certainly didn't have to come to Jonah a second time, but he did. Two things I want you to know today. Knowing God's plan, it's simple in the Word, and we make it simple. We want you to seek God. We want you to serve Him in the church, outside of the church. And then we want you to share in the responsibilities of the church and with a world that needs to know Christ. It's super simple. Two things you need to know. Seeking God and doing what He wants you to do are totally different. I believe sometimes in the church we train for the battle so long we actually believe we're engaged in the battle. We seek Him that we might serve Him better. And then here's another thing I want you to understand. We can run from God, but we can't always run from the consequences of running from God. But if I have run from God, today is not too late to say, God, I need you. God is the God of second chances. I love it. God is the God who sometimes allows life circumstances to get our attention. We see this as a nation every once in a while when something catastrophic happens. Atheists are praying. Everybody's praying. And then when we're no longer desperate, we go back to our own ways. We can run, but we can't hide. Next week, the title of my sermon is Sometimes You Just Have to Spit. But we're not, wait a minute, not next week. Next week is Snow Cone Sunday. And then the youth are also, I should have said that the other way. Next week is our, you get it. Next week, I'm super excited for our teenagers. And then perhaps it's Snow Cone Sunday. Oh man, I love y'all so much. I want to pray a simple prayer today. Is it possible that somebody here could say, you know what, if I were to be absolutely honest, I'm probably not where God wants me. I'm not even sure what to do about it. But, God, I need your help. And then we take one step in the right direction. And it's amazing after you take one step in the right direction for a whole lot of steps, you're going in the right direction. That's a terribly hard thing to do. But it's also terribly hard to do to see the consequences of sin. That's even harder than following God. It really is. And for many, 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 many years, I've seen the devastation of people who've chosen to go their own way. Today is a beautiful day for you and for me. If we say, Pastor Jim, would you pray for me? I'm not sure what to do next, but I really need more God in my life. And let me just tell you what to do next. seek Him. Read the Bible and pray. Get involved. That's how you have accountability. Get involved. Make it super hard for you to fall away. Get involved. Lots of things here at Hope Church you can do to get involved. And then, God, would you bring somebody into my life who needs you? And you'll be amazed at how God can use people like you and me, ordinary folks. All right, let's pray together. God, thank you that there are brutally honest stories in the Bible. As I've studied for this, I'm just at awe how much Jonah loved you. And when you asked him to do something hard, I probably would have gone the other way as well. And have I known what you've wanted me to do and gone the other way? Yes, I have. And God, I want to follow you. I want to say yes to you. I want to receive blessedness by reverently understanding what you want me to do and then to fulfill what you want me to do. God, I pray right now for someone in this room, maybe it's someone Hope at Home. You honestly know, no excuses, no, God, if I were to line myself up and say, am I doing what you want me to do? Would I be able to say yes? And God, I pray that you just work a moment in our hearts. I sense you. You're a God of second chances. You're a God who cares about us. You're a God who's honest, though, and calls sin what it is. If you know you're not living right for the Lord, or if you know God's called you to do something and you've just said no way, can I pray with you? Just look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, pray for me. All right. I love y'all. I mean, I'm for you, absolutely. Maybe God's saying, you need to take one more step. Yeah. I don't know if it's in the seeking, the serving, the sharing. I don't know if it's your time, talent, treasure. You figure that out with the Lord. I'm just here to love you, tell you the truth, and to believe with you that God is bigger than our problems, that God has a plan for you, that God wants to use your life to make a difference for all eternity. You matter. You absolutely matter to God. Father, thank you. What a great day this is for us to turn our focus towards you, for us to say, God, would you help me? God, I'm stuck in sin and I need to serve you. I need to get out of this before the consequences are catastrophic. God, I pray that you would help us to take one step in doing your will. God, I pray that you would help us to believe you're bigger than our inadequacies. I pray that you would help us to believe that you are far greater than the things that we put up in front of you. God, you really want to have relationship with us. That's what this is about. And you want us to be so close to you that it actually leaks through us into the lives of those who don't know you. God, bring somebody across our path this week who needs to know Jesus. Bring somebody across our path this week that we can invite to church. Bring somebody across our path this week that we might be able to pray for. God, thank you. What a joy it is to be here with friends at Hope Church. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, pray that you would bless them, encourage them, keep them strong in you. The God of the heavens, the God of the sea, the God of all of it who sent his son to die so that we might find life. God, may we live in that life. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.